Welcome back to another episode on this fine holiday week. You're listening to Too Many Trailers. I mean, that would be helpful.
Pretty cool.
I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Marianne.
And yeah, so we have two trailers, two, how you would say, very animated.
They're so excited. They're animated.
Actual animated trailers. We have Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Whoop whoop.
And the other one is going to be, that we'll be talking about, is Into the Spider-Verse.
I have a question. Is it Spider-Man, like, colon, Into the Spider-Verse, or is it just Into the Spider-Verse?
Okay, it is Spider-Man, colon, Into the Spider-Verse. And if we want to get technical, and if we want to get technical, it's Spider-Man, really.
Wow. Truly. Wow. Getting really into specifics here.
Yes, but it is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is the official
official film title.
Film title. Thank you, Marianne. Yeah, so general thoughts before, just like good, bad, excited.
About these trailers?
Yeah, just like how did you feel?
Kelsey and I saw the teaser trailer for Ralph Breaks the Internet together at a movie, and we were like, we need to review this as soon as the full trailer comes out.
We mentioned it in our first, like, not our first episode,
right?
Our
a episode long zero time ago.
In March, we, like, mentioned it, and then all of a sudden it was like,
we dropped a trailer.
We just like, wait, what?
And then we were like, but you're not coming out for another 7 months.
So we're gonna wait. And yet, now.
And now.
Here we are.
Here we are.
So, let's...
So, FYI, I also have a cold, so I sound...
That vocal fry is
that,
real,
you know,
good.
Got that old, raspy smoker voice going for me. It's great.
So, I'll probably be facilitating most of the conversation.
Which is fine. I have some poignant notes.
Yeah.
Quality over quantity,
yeah,
on the notes today.
Absolutely. So let's jump right into Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Let's do it.
All right. So the director, we have two. We have Rich Moore and we have Phil Johnston. We have the screenplay, which is by Pamela Robin and Phil Johnston.
Yeah. And then the music was Henry Jackman. And I was like, saw his name and I was like, must be new. No. He's not. He's done a lot more recently than he has in the past. But he's done some great films that, Kelsey, you might be familiar with. It's just a few little films called Captain America Winter Soldier and Captain America Civil War.
So good.
Which are so well scored.
Oh, they so are.
Like, just think about, like, the music during Winter Soldier. So good. But he's listed as a composer.
For that, because
I looked up just his composer.
The Winter Soldier, I could do a whole fucking 35-minute episode
spiel
just on the Winter Soldier music. Ugh, so good.
Yeah, so he did that, and then he's also done the movie Kingsman.
Both of those
movies. Yeah. And he did... Big Hero 6, because I was always like, have you done an animated film before, sir? Have you done, like, a more of a comedy before? But he did Big Hero 6, so that made me feel better.
I like that. Big Hero 6 was a good film.
Sophie Winter Soldier. Oh my god, you know what else he did? He did the fucking film, The Interview.
I'm out. He would do The Interview. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, he can do comedies.
All right. And we
Kelsey, you want to bring us through our cast
I
list?
Do. I didn't even write down the whole cast.
Because
there's too fucking many people. Like, not, like, in a good way. But
in the best way possible, there are too many cool people.
So for the cast, we have Sarah Silverman, John C. Reilly, both reprising their roles. Jack McBrayer reprising his role. Taraji P. Henson in a new role. Gal Gadot.
Motherfucking Godot. I can't.
Jane Lynch reprising her role.
Oh, Jane.
And then we have, I like started to write down all the princesses.
Oh my god, did they go? Okay, so one of my notes was wondering if those are the real voices of the original.
So we have Ming-Na Wen, who originally voiced Mulan. We have
Jasmine.
Yes. We have Jodie Benson, who I believe was...
She's Ariel.
Ariel. We have Anika Noni Rose, who is, I believe, Pocahontas.
Yes.
We have Irene Bedard, Ayulia Carvalho from
Moana.
We have Mandy Moore from Tango. We have Alan Tudyk, who is a different role, but he's a well-respected voice actor.
Yeah. Did Idina Menzel do the voice of Elsa?
Yes. So Idina Menzel and I believe Kristen Bell are back for Frozen characters. I just wrote so many people because I just could not.
Oh my god, literally it just says just under the list. So they're many. Literally written in Kelsey's notebook. It's just so many people.
It's just, oh, and my favorite one, there's Clozel. And you might know her from her amazing YouTube channel. I just remember her doing the Cinnamon Challenge, and it was one of the funniest fucking videos I've ever seen of her doing that.
We'll link it. We'll tweet
Tweet out Clozel's Cinnamon Challenge. I'm
so happy. We follow Clozel on our Twitter? Is that why?
No. Do we?
I think we do.
I love her. I think she's just a beautiful soul.
Okay.
She has a lot of energy. Anyway, so that's the cast and behind the trailer facts for Outbreak's Internet.
All right, so let's jump into our feelings and reactions.
All right. So I kind of did a little bit of both trailers.
I watched both trailers, but same. I only wrote stuff about
the first one
that same. Came out five okay. months ago.
Same. Okay.
Fabulous.
Because
I did watch both, though, because I didn't see the numbers beforehand.
It's
so
fine.
I just watched both.
I'll start with my, end of my notes, because that's more of the first trailer. Then I'll go into, my beginning of notes, because that's the second trailer more. So, first off, I'm a little scared to see this film, just because it does give off an Emoji Movie vibe.
Oh. See, I'm afraid of it with the comedy thing, that we talked about when we reviewed Night School. That I'm afraid that the only funny parts are going to be what's in this trailer. And it's really, I feel like it's really difficult when you're not given a plot. So, to your point that you're I'm nervous it's going to become the Emoji Movie where there's no point to it. They're just look at all these cool things.
Especially because it's the internet. And it's Ooh. What they gave us in the trailer, it was all about being It all builds, all the jokes build around,
being on the internet.
Being on the internet. Like eBay or,
Twitter
or, or
the search bar scene, which was.
Search bar was actually pretty funny. Or when they were, what's it called? The clickbait articles.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everything, which is actually a pretty good joke.
Those were funny. See, here's the thing, though. I'm so enticed by those, funny parts that I'm like, oh my god, these are so funny. I'm gonna laugh so hard when I see this. Movie. And it'll be funny because I'll be the one, in the theater that's, laughing at every little joke because, I'm also, love the humor in kids' movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelsey's gonna sit next to me and be like, that's not funny.
You good, fam? I would,
For real, I'm gonna be, dying laughing. I'm gonna be, choking
and I'm just
on my popcorn and Kelsey's gonna be like,
ha.
Why are you laughing? I'm gonna be like,
I find this funny. It's funny. What to do? All right, I'm just gonna the pancake versus milkshake will always be funny to me. When they go into the kids game at the end of the first trailer, and the kid is playing on her little iPad.
Oh my god!
Okay,
oh my god.
That will always be funny. It will always be funny, especially when Ralph is moving the pancakes and then. So fast, and then the bunny's like, please, no more. And then all you hear is a pop, and it's the most disturbing thing I've ever witnessed. Well, that's not true. It's very disturbing.
That was the part of the teaser trailer that Kelsey and I saw in theaters where I turned to her and was like, we need to review this trailer.
We need to talk about this.
We need to talk about this. This was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
I loved the scene with the search bar.
Yes.
Where Ralph was starting to say words. He was like, and the search bar guy was like, umami, ooh, blah, 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 and giving all these options. And then at the end, though, it was funny because Vanellope then goes like, oh, I want the, craziest, most, whatever, crazy, stupid website ever. And then when he showed her the Disney, I was a little disappointed because I was really hoping he was going to say, the only website I found is Tumblr.
Oh, no.
I was like, that would have been so funny. But, like, I get it. It's a Disney film.
Yeah.
Also, I hope that Disney is using their marketing smartly.
Yep.
And smartly. Wow.
In a smart sense, yes.
Yep. And, like, linking stuff with that website and stuff because...
Yeah.
That's how you get money.
So, when...
The princess scene where Vanellope lands in, like, a room with all of the princesses has been all over the internet since before it was even released.
Honestly, a little... I mean, yeah. It was everywhere. I'm kind of a little not happy that they showed that part because it would have been such a great fucking surprise.
Oh, I know.
To see, like, in the actual movie without seeing the scenes beforehand. And I understand why they did it. But,
it's
like,
really
I was just, like... It would have been such a great way to, like, keep a little, like, hold a little back and everything.
I know,
but,
like...
such a good scene.
I know. It's funny because, like, I get what you're saying. Like, totally, that'd be awesome to have as a surprise. But at the same time, when I was typing in to find the trailer on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
before even the word trailer came up, it was, like, Wreck-It Ralph princess scene. And I was, like, whole trailer? And it was, like, you want to just watch the princess scene? And I was, like, no. Like... That's, like, the main draw for this. So, like, at the same time, it was actually, like, a good move on their part, I guess. I love self-aware princesses.
Oh,
like, that's what I love the most about Frozen.
Was,
like, all the stuff about, like, you can't marry someone you just met. That's insane. Did your parents ever teach you about strangers and all that stuff? So I'm really happy that they're continuing down that path. Like,
yeah, especially, like,
Disney, you're making moves.
With the other... princess as well. It's not just like Frozen or
right,
not just
not
Moana.
Just I didn't even see Anna. I saw Elsa.
I remember seeing Kristen Bell's, I believe, name in the cast.
I'm sure she's there.
She has to be there. She is the princess.
At the end of the first trailer, there's also that quick scene where they're like, oh, we're going to call it Ralph Breaks the Internet. And I was like, this is a little much. But then when he was like, no, we should call it Ralph Wrecks the Internet because like that's funnier. I was like, oh my god, if they somehow include Wrecking Ball in this, I will actually pay money.
Top tier money.
Something for that.
I have a little issue with the Ralph Breaks the Internet because that kind of started with Kim Kardashian's Paper Magazine spread.
Yeah.
How she was like...
Broke the internet.
She technically, that was like the whole... That's how the phrase came about. So that when they're using that, it's a little like, oh, but I'm glad it's like kids don't know about that.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, like, people use it for all kinds of things now with like people
now,
breaking the internet.
Now they do. But I think it originated
with
the
originate from
the
that, but like, thing. But I feel like sometimes with things like that, though, people like at this point in time, like, don't even remember how it originated.
Honestly, true. True. Can we move into the second trailer?
Yeah. Yeah. I love Sarah Silverman.
So the second trailer is more of a plotter, heavier
which
plot.
Which is exactly what
which
we've
always
seen.
Happens. And it happened with the second trailer for Into the Spider-Verse as well.
Did you watch both for that too?
I only watched the first one, but
okay.
I mean, I've seen the second one previously.
I was like, damn it.
I thought that it was really interesting that the way they got into the internet was a great... way, like they're...
It was a good plot.
Mechanical device, I guess, to get in because of the fact that they broke, like, a game,
the game.
And he has to go into the, like, the...
The internet to, like, get
right.
a piece.
And, the personification of online was so much better in the second trailer. The serialization of modern video game industry was so much better in the second one, especially when they go meet Gal Gadot. In the racing, like pretty much as her Fast and Furious character.
I was like, oh my gosh, when she like started walking, I was like, is it gonna be Michelle Rodriguez? And then I heard her voice and I was like, no. And then I was like, give
Gal
me a minute.
Gadot.
And I was like, it's Gal Gadot, this is even better.
And especially when they're like, wow, the graphics look great in here. And
yeah,
I was just like, yeah, this
so
is...
Awareness.
Really good. I think that's what we're going to find a lot, but I felt as though we finally got a sense that they're kind of building on the idea of identity around one certain thing and moving on a path towards more self-discovery in this film.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lot what happened in the first one, because that was the whole purpose of the first film. But I feel like they're kind of expanding on that into interpersonal relationships between people and how to maintain those interpersonal relationships.
True. Something, just talking about the first movie, Wreck-It Ralph, I don't like when there's such a large gap between the original film and the sequel, because at, like, this point in time, I'm like, okay, what do I remember about Wreck-It Ralph? I remember they're a video game, he's with a painter, and Jane Lynch is in it, and Sarah Silverman's character drives a car, and there's a candy king, and he's the bad guy, and that's...
That's all you need to know. That's really... They don't...
But, like, otherwise, I'm like, ooh, plot-wise...
It really, honestly, the plot at this point of the second trailer, because I don't think it's even... The plot's not continuing into the second trailer. I don't think we need to really, like, remember it. And I think that's what happens with children's movies. It's like, it's a fresh film.
Yeah.
It's really fine.
It's a fresh film, just with the same characters.
Yeah. I did like that they used the Rick Roll, Never Gonna Give You.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
And I thought that was fantastic with the internet thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, those are my notes.
Okay.
Do you have any more?
Nope.
Great.
That's it. Well, are you going to see this film in theaters, VOD? What you doing?
I'd see it in VOD or Netflix. I don't think I'll see it in theaters. I just don't think I'll have the motivation to see it. I mean, I'll be like, cool, and then, like, see it on demand. How about you?
I think I'm going to end up seeing this in theaters with children.
Yeah.
Like, I have a feeling.
Just, like, eventually, just, like...
I have a feeling at some point somebody's going to be like, let's go see this. And I'm like,
okay.
And I, like, the kids that I saw the first one with, I have a feeling they're going to be like, do you remember when you took us to see this movie? You want to take us to the sequel?
And I'll be like, fine. Sure.
Let's go.
All right, cool.
All right, so that does it for Ralph Breaks the Internet. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to drink some more tea. And then we're going to talk about Spidey.
Spideyverse. We'll be back. And
welcome back
to our second half of the episode. We're so blessed you can be here because it's Thanksgiving.
We're so thankful that you're listening to our podcast.
We're going to give our listeners, you're our family, and we hope you look at us as your family, I think.
You invite us into your ears.
Ears during a time of giving and receiving food and love, if you want. It's all up to you.
Wow, we are going to just stop and we're going to talk about the trailer now because...
We're going to talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Let's do it.
All right, let's jump right in. So the director is Bob Persichetti and Peter Ramsey and Rodney Rothman. And it's written by Phil Lord and Rodney Rothman based off the characters from the Marvel comics.
Oh, quick interjection. Speaking about the world of Marvel comics. As I'm sure you've all heard, Kelsey and I are getting a little emotional right now.
I cried 4 times today because of this.
I cried a lot when it happened. Our fearless leader, Stan Lee, passed away.
Yeah.
Very sadly this week. So, you know. And Stan Lee, what a guy.
What a guy.
He just did so much for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
He definitely, you know, left a very lasting impact on the universe as a whole. And everybody that worked in it and all the fans and things like that. And he just was so dedicated to the world of Marvel and, like, not only the comics world, but the cinematic universe mm-hmm. and everything like that. We wrote a nice, short, emotional piece that if I wrote longer, I would have cried myself, so yeah. I didn't.
I was sobbing when I saw what Marianne wrote. And it's true, everything is so... He's so needed in, you know, this...
And in today's world.
Yeah,
like, because... you look back at all the things he's done.
I mean, he... Not only, like, the whole superhero experience is all based upon, you know, the underdog becoming the hero and everything. I was reading this guy's tweet. I don't know. He's at Mi Koopa. It's Anthony Olivia. He's an academic and everything. There's this one thing he wrote, which I thought was so amazing, was that when Iceman in the X-Men comics came out, the first thing that Stan Lee said was, "Oh, I didn't know that." He didn't say, "Oh, no, he's not." He didn't say, "That's not true." He said, "Oh, I didn't know that," stating that these characters can grow, that can be certain things that they are and everything. And I thought that was absolutely wonderful. There's a video that just came out on his Twitter page, the @RealStanLee, and it was a video of Stan Lee talking about his fans, unprompted and everything, and how much that, you know, he loved that his fans were so into the comics and into the industry and so happy that, you know, he created something for the fans. And I fucking was sobbing, especially because to have that, you know, light that, you know, he knew that his fans were the ones that really, truly loved him, as well as, you know, late wife. And it's just, it's so heartwarming and touching to see that. And you don't really, I mean, you do see that in creators, but it's nice to, you know, really see it. You know, and just truly being spoken with someone with a lot of passion. He's really going to be a mess because I hurt Stan Lee.
Okay, now that we've had our moment of sadness about the passing of Stan Lee, we're going to refocus and come back to Spider-Man.
The cast, we have Nicolas Cage. I'm just going to let this one sink in. We have Hailee Steinfeld, Mahershala Ali.
Oh, Mahershala Ali is Mahershala, my favorite.
Yeah. Liev Schreiber, Jake Johnson, Kimiko Glenn, John Mulaney.
Kimiko Glenn?
Yeah, Kimiko Glenn.
Oh my goodness, Kimiko Glenn's from Waitress.
Oh my god! We have Lily Tomlin, who plays Aunt May, which is, I think, the best goddamn casting I've ever seen.
Wow.
We have Luna Lauren Velez. We have Brian Tyree Henry. We have Shameik Moore, who is playing Miles Morales. We have Nick Jane, Muneeb Raymond, Alicia Cooper, and Melanie Hayes. That's the cast. Okay. Which I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Composer?
Composer is Daniel Pemberton.
His name sounds familiar.
He's done a lot. He hasn't done many comedies or, like, animated films before. Like, I scrolled through and was like, I'm not seeing anything.
Right.
And not that this is, like, a straight-up comedy, but anything animated
it's
is
fun. It has
to have a, like, an moment. Air of, like, lightness and things like that. One of the more recent things that he's done that was bigger was he did the composing for Ocean's 8.
Okay. I'll give him that.
But
it's kind of action-y, I feel like-ish.
Yeah. It's a little action and a little comedy. So that I was like, that was what I was thinking was the most like equivalent to what this will probably be about.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk about the trailer as a whole?
Yeah.
All right. You can start off.
I loved it so much.
Same. I really did, too.
I love the animation style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about the story of Miles Morales, so all of this is new, and that's so exciting because you don't get a fresh take on Spider-Man, like, ever.
It's really hard to get a fresh take on Spider-Man because it's just the same old story sometimes.
It's so overdone.
It's so, especially in the cinematic universe, you know, you have the three, original ones from the early 2000s. You have
with Tobey Maguire, and then you've got the two
Andrew Garfields, and then you have the new Tom Holland, which is still refreshing in its own because it's
which
like
is definitely a different telling.
Yes,
it's like a different story, but this is like, but this
so
story
it's
is
so
so different,
so good, and I
that,
love it.
Yeah, that like you could be a fan of Spider-Man and like
and just go right in,
and yeah, and you could literally come into this and be like, all this is new, and that's really exciting as a fan.
And I think what I like about that specifically is that the fact that he, not he, the fact that, what's it called? That there's no technical origin story, because we know the fucking origin story.
Right.
Like, we don't have to rehash that same, like, he got bitten by a spider. And, like, we get it. but I agree. The style of the trailer is amazing. The art style,
yeah,
especially in Miles Morales's universe where it's more comics based, drawing
yeah.
and
so cool
rotoscoping essentially. But what I really, really like, and what I saw throughout the whole trailer, because we do see the trailer, you know, progress into, oh, we have a different Spider-Man that comes into, you know, play, and then we have Gwen Stacy, who is another Spider-Man.
I know, I was like, female Spider-Man, where have I been?
Yeah.
Have I been living under a rock? Like,
you have, yeah. I'm kidding, no. She's been around, like a few years.
Oh, my
now.
God, I don't read the comics, I just follow everybody else from other things, and, like, the news about comic-related things, so for me, I was like, I'm sorry, what did they say?
But even though we have, you know, Peter Parker, we have Gwen Stacy, we have all these things, the trailer is showing us is that it still centers around a person of color.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, I'm just like, oh my God.
I know,
it's
like a young boy
mm-hmm.
who's a black male.
Mm-hmm.
Who.
Black male child.
Yeah. I like.
And that, you know, that it's focused on his story, and I just,
and
I
like
love that.
Out being a hero. I can't get over it. So, I also love, so I was like, I love this animation, I love this story, I love that we're, like, still in New York, but we're just in a different borough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Love it.
I like that, yeah, I do agree as well with the borough change, and we always see Brooklyn, we see Queens and everything, we see Manhattan. I'm glad we kind of branched out into just a little bit different type of, you know, part of New York that we don't usually see. So I agree. So I was trying to look. I don't think they have an MPA rating yet. It looked like I think it was possibly PG. But what?
It'd be cool if it was PG because that opens it up to a lot more viewers.
A lot more viewers.
And like what little kids need and little. And kids of color need are to be able to
so
see themselves in media. And, like, I literally say this all day, every day. Is that when you see yourself in media, then you can see yourself
thriving
and with a different future. And you can see the possibilities for yourself and things like that. And that is what kids need. And if you look at all the other Avengers, you know there's no other real...
Yeah.
There aren't many other superheroes that are of any type of color.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
there are
the
B-list ones. Like,
right.
I mean, nothing against Falcon and, like, War Machine and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the center stories.
They're not top tiers.
They don't have their own full movies about themselves.
Not yet, but yeah.
Right, not yet. So it's like, you know, when you think of the bigger characters, there aren't.
Yeah. No, so and it's gonna be, I think, a really good starting point, especially for kids who want to get into the comics and everything. I think it's like, hey, look, there's other Spider-Mans. Like, there's not just,
right.
you know, Peter Parker. You know, if you have Gwen Stacy, you have Miles Morales.
There's,
and then,
like, opportunity for everybody.
Exactly. Even though this was, like, PG, though, I did really like that you felt like the characters were in actual danger, which shows that you don't have to make a movie super violent or super... like, super PG-13 or even R to have a good superhero film.
Right.
You can still have the characters feel as though they are in danger or have some sort of, conflict.
Right.
And still make it a PG film, which
absolutely.
I think is so important, which I really, really enjoyed.
Let's talk about Miles Morales' family.
I would love to.
So Miles Morales has two parents, everybody.
What? That is so refreshing. And I hate that I said that, but it's so refreshing.
And in comics in general, people
mm-hmm.
are like without parents at all
yeah.
or live with, like, in original Peter Parker's story, like he lives with his aunt
mm-hmm.
and uncle and all those kinds of things. So when like his in the beginning of the trailer when you see his dad, I was like, cool. And then you see his dad on later, I was like, two alive parents. Yes. And I was like, if they hurt his parents from this film, I'm going to shoot somebody.
No, it totally is refreshing, especially when, you know, his dad is like, say I love you.
Oh my goodness.
Not,
so his dad
is so
a cop.
Fucking funny. Oh, yeah.
So he's a black male cop. And I'm just like, well, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened on the screen. And then, yes, he drops off Miles at school. And he makes Miles say, I love you back.
It was
he starts
so
yelling
adorable.
At him from the cop car. So funny.
He goes, copy that. I thought
and
that was so adorable.
Way.
The script writing is
what's
so well done. I wanted, there's this one scene in the trailer where he jumps off the building backwards and
yes.
it's fall.
Oh, how beautifully shot is that?
That took my breath away. I was so impressed with that shot, especially with like the narration from the quote unquote older Peter Parker.
Right.
And I thought that was just such a great way to really make as though Miles is a powerful superhero. You know, this
right.
he is a
he's
super
new, but he is
still the same.
Yep.
And you know, any more notes? I have one more.
No, just that overall it was impressive that this was the first official trailer and it was very plot heavy.
Yeah. Extremely
which was
plot
really
heavy.
Exciting.
Yeah. And which
and
I
feel
liked.
Like you kind of needed also like so we've learned in general, like we just talked about it with Ralph Breaks the Internet. The second official trailer usually is much more plot heavy. But I feel like it was good for this because so many people have already pre-existing
ideas,
like assumptions about what is going to happen in the Spider-Man film.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of go, be able to go back and be like, okay, this is what's happening before everybody like loses their mind without a plot. Like this is what this is.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Because some dumb,
yeah.
dumb person is going to be like, Spider-Man's name is Peter Parker, not Miles Morales. I'm going to
be
like
shut
your
fuck
face.
Up.
There's multiple Spider-Mans. Goodbye.
Yes. And like, look, you have to go into trailer 2, but you can just be like, well, there's Spider-Ham, there's Gwen Stacy, there's Spider-Noir, there's Peter Parker. So suck it. But no, I agree. I thought that I don't know if this is coming to theaters. I kind of hope it
I
does.
Hope it's coming to theaters.
I hope it does. But if
I would be, I'd kind of be surprised if it wasn't coming to theaters.
I'd be kind of surprised if it does, like, did. I feel like...
Why? I need it to be mainstream media.
No, I really do
attention.
Hope it is. I just don't, I haven't seen anything of, like, theater, wherever.
I saw it in a theater. I saw
the
teaser. The
trailer?
For this.
Oh.
In a theater.
With
awesome. You!
Okay,
guaranteed.
I don't remember this.
Okay, tomorrow, after I've had a full night's sleep with my cold.
Okay.
I will reassess.
Reassess? Okay. And
figure out who I saw with my view. What's your last note?
That I like trailer 2 because they had Spider-Ham, and Spider-Ham is literally from The Simpsons.
Like, what?
It's amazing. And John Mulaney voices the pig, and it's the funniest fucking thing ever.
Spider pig thing?
Yeah.
That's totally good.
Spider pig. Spider pig. Does whatever a spider pig does. Anyway.
So, Kelsey, if this goes to theaters, are you going to see it in theaters?
Yes.
Great. I'll come with you.
Great. We'll have it be our new MCU. film that we see.
Stanley.
Yeah, so you will see in theaters, I'll see in theaters.
If it doesn't come out in theaters, we'll see it as soon as it's released.
Released in VOD or I don't think Netflix. Netflix later.
I don't think it'll go straight to Netflix.
But yeah, great discussion. So let's do a little business. If you want to talk to us about Spider-Man, Stan Lee, or
Wreck-It Ralph,
or Disney princesses, whatever,
yeah.
You can always email us at TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. That's TWOManyTrailers@gmail.com.
And if you have other thoughts and feelings about what we post online, so we use our social media through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all of those things can be found at Too Many Trailers, again, TWO Many Trailers. Comment on what we put up, like what we put up, do other things similar, subscribe, follow.
Rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Yeah. Show other people that they should listen to us because we talk about movies all the time. Or
movie trailers
all the time.
And I'm sure that other people do, too.
We're not the only people in the world that like movie trailers.
I hope not.
There are at least a certain amount of people that listen to this podcast
that's very
that
true.
Also enjoy it. So,
So I know this is Thanksgiving week. Sometimes it can be very difficult for certain people. Sometimes it's fine. But we just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, a happy Thursday, a happy day. And if you find yourself not wanting to celebrate Thanksgiving for some reason, you can always listen to our back catalog. We have a good number of episodes you can always just hang out and listen to. We love you. Don't forget that. Okay? Whoever's listening to it that doesn't like Thanksgiving, that's completely okay.
Things happen. So take care of yourself.
Yes.
Do what you need to do for self-care.
And then maybe get a pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should.
Yeah. And, like, take a nap.
Yeah. And, like, if you're old enough to drink, like, just grab a glass of wine and turn on Netflix.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want if you're an adult.
You can do whatever you want as long as it's safe.
Yes.
And consensual.
Yes.
And that's where we're going to end this episode.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
We're going to dig ourselves a deep hole. Have a wonderful week.
Yes.
We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.